Welcome to the K-Connect podcast, where collective impact meets practical steps for change. The K-Connect podcast focuses on system-level work, policy, community engagement, and more.
Welcome to the K-Connect podcast. My name is Dr. Shayla Young, and I have the pleasure of serving as one of the vice presidents at K-Connect, leading our policy and advocacy and community engagement work. I am your host, and today I am excited because this is something like a family affair, right? I have three of my colleagues here, and we are here to talk about K-Connect, who we are, what we do, and how we do it. The goal, right, after you hear today's episode, you should have a foundational understanding of who we are as an organization. So I'm going to go ahead and allow my guests to introduce themselves. So Mark, we'll start with you. Give us who you are, what you do, and why you do it.
Yeah, thanks, Shayla. This is my name is Mark Waltman. I am a vice president at K-Connect, and I have been here really almost since the beginning of K-Connect operations over 10 years ago. And I have worked in many different spaces over the years with K-Connect. I think people know me now as a couple of things, kind of the resident historian of all things, you know, K-Connect from the beginning, as well as working on a lot of our data work that we've done to visualize our dashboard of community metrics, as well as now getting into kind of a lead consulting role in our consulting side of K-Connect called Connect Us. And I'm sure we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
All right. Thank you, Mark. Megan.
All right. I thought you were going to say like the best for last, but you know, I'll go third. I thought I was going to pass it over to Salvador over there. But hey, everyone, my name is Megan Frierson. I'm the director of system building here at K-Connect. I wish I could say I'm a historian, but I'm learning. I've been here a little bit over 2.5 years, and it has been an exciting road. My work is really convening a lot of our partners, content experts in the community, and really building strategies, aligning the work, and then designing where we see gaps. So I will tell you, it is an exciting role, and it's a role that I love because I get to work with so many great network partners, you know, in our community, and that all have that same passion of wanting to see children and family in Kent County succeed. And so it's a great thing to do, especially during this time.
Yes, yes. And last but not least, Salvador.
Hello, hello. Buenos dias, buenas tardes, buenas noches. My name is Salvador Lopez, and I am the president of K-Connect. I have been here, I'm going on 5 years now. It is a joy to be with K-Connect. And honestly, one of the biggest things that I really enjoy is this notion that this organization, this group, this team works towards ensuring that no matter what your background is, what place or location, whatever it may be, or where you come from, that you have this ability to be successful. And I think we can work on that every single day. And yes, I do the boring stuff of overseeing financials and that we're not messing things up overall as an organization, that we stay alive and thriving and things like that. But really, it's working with a great talented people all around us, the teams, our network, and the extension of our team as well that we work with a significant amount of people. So just happy to be here with y'all.
Yes, so happy. Salvador, I think you just said good morning, good afternoon, and good night. So whenever you're tuning in.
That's right.
Whenever you're tuning in right now, I want you to do something for us. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Stay connected to K-Connect and what we do and what we're bringing here on this podcast. And so, Salvador, you talked a little bit about this work, why it's important, and what comes out of it for you personally. Can you give our audience a little background in terms of who K-Connect is, what we do, and give us some concrete examples of that in the work?
And we need concrete examples because pretty much anyone that comes to K-Connect or interacts with us takes something different from who we are, right? We're almost like a little bit like a chameleon, like, what do you do? And then once people interact and start working with us, like, oh, I think I see it now, right? And so for us, who we are is really we're built from a network of people and organizations that are from the private or public or government sectors, you name it. It could be business, it could be healthcare, education, and they all come together usually with a common purpose in mind, and that's to ensure that all people in King County specifically, but really beyond, have this ability to be successful, whatever that means to them, right? And that could mean pretty much whatever the hell everybody wants that comes into the room. And so often the way that we pose it is we often facilitate very difficult dialogue. Sometimes it's around race, sometimes it's around income status and a variety of different issues, systemic issues that impact the county and beyond. Sometimes we also convene small and large groups, and we ensure that decisions are being made based on consensus building. So ensuring that people come together and say, okay, this is what we want to accomplish, but how do we want to get there? So we have even a decision-making protocol that I think is super unique that's been recognized at the national level. That we bring to the table, right? So facilitation and convening, but it's also, and Mark and other folks are going to talk about this, visualizing data and more importantly, visualizing the stories. Like, what's happening in our communities? Why is that important? So those are the big things, right? And so anyone that comes to the network, regardless of the system that we're working in, we're bringing typically a variety of tools with us, and facilitation and convening and data visualization. Those tend to be kind of core to what we do, in addition to a variety of different things. So examples, right? We've done a significant amount of work in housing and ensuring that all folks, regardless of their background and income status and where they live, have the ability to say, if I choose to move tomorrow, can I do that? Regardless of where I want to be, how do we get that done, right? And we know there's a significant amount of issues there. But you know, some things have gotten better, some things have not. And so keeping our fingers on that pulse and ensuring that the community is doing that, that was top of mind for us. And that's something that is still being worked on, right? And we also work, historically have done some work in early childhood. We have done a lot of work in education. So when we say prenatal to career and collective impact, we really talk about an entire continuum from prenatal to career. And that could mean just about anything. We also work with a variety of creatives and artists, right, that are thinking about how do we get to equitable outcomes. And equitable outcomes are at the center of everything that we do at K-Connect. That is something that's like, we wake up in the morning, go to bed in the evening. How are we making an impact to make sure that all people are being impacted positively?
Yes. And Salvador, as you're just speaking, I'm remembering being a network member of K-Connect. So I have a really unique position as, you know, I was in the network, a part of the high school to career work group before I became a backbone team member. And I just remember community having stake and being able to name some of these very things that you are saying K-Connect shows up as, right? As a convener of difficult, of cross sectors, as a facilitator of those difficult conversations, like those weren't necessarily self-proclaimed. Those were community named, right? And so Mark, as the resident historian of K-Connect, you have some insight on how that became, what that journey has been like for K-Connect. Can you speak a little bit to the history of our organization and some of those, I guess, monumental things that have happened along the way that have helped to shape who K-Connect is today?
Yeah, the journey of K-Connect has been amazing to be a part of and watch and see it grow. There's definitely been some painful times, some really interesting times, and some great times. And so I think that's part of the collective impact work that we see around the country and locally, that it is ambiguous sometimes. You have to define it. You have to work. You have to just go out there every day and do it to make it work. And so K-Connect got started, and this is before my time. So I'm talking a little bit before my time here. Around 2011, there was an article published in the Stanford Review that a person at the county and within philanthropy sort of got a hold of. And they started reviewing this document, and it really gave language around collective impact. And collective impact had been around for decades before, but they were the first ones to kind of look at different collective impacts and actually coin the term collective impact and put some definition around it. At the same time, my understanding is the philanthropic community, some leaders in government, nonprofits, we're all kind of having a similar discussion about, you know, we've been pouring money into areas of our community and different issues, and we're making some individual good, but we're not really seeing, you know, what they said is, are the needles moving, right? Things really improving on a drastic level within the community, that these issues were stuck kind of in the community. And is there a better way for us to operate together as a community, as a network? And so they became really interested in collective impact. And my understanding is that I think it was Steelcase at the time funded a group to go out to Stanford to really study the model. And they took a, you know, kind of a steering committee of people there and came back with this idea. And then they worked with FSG to come out and help kind of create what we call our common agenda and roadmap. And we now call that the common agenda and roadmap 1.0, because we now have an addition to that called the 2.0. But that was really our founding document. And so then the board went about, it sort of created a 501c3. The board hired on the first executive director, Pam Perriott, and she hired on staff. And I was amongst the first staff to be hired I think May of 2014, which is, you know, over 10 years, almost 11 years ago now at this point. And we were handed this document, the Common Agenda and Roadmap, and told basically operationalize this, put this into play. And the idea was that if you can get all the sectors with community, with data, with equity in the room, that you can start to change through building this network and making decisions, that you could actually change what was happening within the community and improve outcomes for children and families in Kent County. What we realized pretty quickly were a couple of things with the Common Agenda and Roadmap. It was really just an organizational document. It was kind of like, here are the different work groups that you have to have, and here's, you know, some things that you have to build, and here's what the staff is going to look like, and here's what, you know, the board structure is going to look like. What we realized pretty quickly is that there was no how to actually get the work done. The theory of action, I think, the best that I can tell in the first Common Agenda and Roadmap, was get people in the room and then solve the problems. And what we realized pretty quickly was you needed a lot of process on top of that to be able to get to those discussions, those tough discussions and decisions and accountability and funding and all of those things that you know, these huge social issues within the community, you know, all the things that it takes to sort of change those. And so we started just working, right? Like just going out there and failing day after day until stuff started working, right? And slowly and surely, we built the work groups. The data and capacity work group was one of our founding groups. We had an equity inclusion work group at the time. We had our prenatal to third grade work group. And we kind of got those up and running and just started going. A lot of bumps in the roads. You know, a lot of people were also suspicious of what K-Connect's motives were. You know, who was really behind K-Connect? There was a lot of that, and we had to sort of navigate that and do presentation after presentation after presentation about K-Connect. And slowly but surely, we gained, I think, the respect of colleagues around the community, because we were a neutral convener. And as Salvador says, we weren't seeking neutral outcomes, but we were a neutral convener that helped to visualize data, helped to break it down by different demographics, which was not the usual case in the community at the time, a place to have robust discussion, create initiatives and move forward. And so we created, you know, in those early days, we created the work plan, which are 8 success measures and 27 indicators. It was co-created across our network with buy-in and voting. We created the Accountability Partner Council, which is really our kind of big tent or place that we all convene as a network and make decisions about initiatives and ideas and hear about how things are going on things we've already decided. We created our decision-making protocol, and thanks to some of our early champions like Dr. Neil Carlson at DataWise, who really helped think about how to structure that decision-making protocol, and Eureka People, who was there at the time using some of the same things in some of her facilitation, put together the decision-making protocol and started to, you know, get those indicators and those success measures visualized on the dashboard that we created in partnership with the Johnson Center and our data capacity work group of just really, really smart data people throughout the community, and really sort of gain the respect through our data visualizations, our storytelling, our ability to convene, have those difficult conversations and move forward. And, you know, that really got us through the first few years of K-Connect and just getting up and, you know, being operational. I can remember us doing a co-chair launch early on in K-Connect. It was within the first year. And Luis Lugo, who was at RDV at the time, basically said we had to do this activity where it was like, what's K-Connect going to look like? What is the community going to look like in 5 years? And there were people that were, and we had to do like a newspaper front page or something like that, like draw it out. And there were people that were like, you know, doves are flying and bells are ringing and everything is solved, right? And we're singing around a campfire together and things like that. And Luis Lugo, I think, was so on point. And he said that in 5 years, you will be lucky if you've just built the process to K-Connect. Mm. And that was almost spot on. I think it took about 4 years to get to that sort of the process. And we'll probably get into this long, you know, later, but we were asked to do, the community sort of asked us to get into into homelessness and housing, which was a big issue, still is a big issue, but was a big issue at the time. And that was sort of the second phase. Can we take K-Connect, what we've built, out for a spin and actually use it to do a large scale project within the community? And that was housing. And then the third phase, and sort of some of these overlap, but was the sort of the new team coming in, with Salvador coming in during the pandemic, hiring up. You know, we were traditionally two or three staff, and we are now growing to six or seven. And so our capacity has grown, our perspectives have grown. And the amount of work that we're doing now from that early flywheel that we built is just amazing to see. You know, all the different things that we're doing, the conversations that we're having, the people that we're convening. And so, yeah, it's amazing that we are, after 10 years, working, doing our best work, I think, that we've ever done. But it was all from some of those, you know, painful beginnings and the opportunity to hire in, you know, great new staff.
I just, Mark, as you're speaking, I'm remembering an experience with the late Dr. Rayanne Booker, and K-Connect came to two college through college and presented and talked about, you know, system level work. And I think Dr. Booker said, okay, what? Like, what is K-Connect and why do we need it, right? And now the evolution of how, you know, relationships like that, where you had people in community doing work and there was a trusting relationship that had to be built, mm-hmm. between K-Connect and, you know, community, and how that has panned out over time has just been, it's really been just an amazing success story, I think, for our organization. I'm thinking even about that common agenda and roadmap and how we're on version 2 of that, rum version doing that. Right. Salvador, you look like you have something you want to throw out there.
I just want to celebrate what Mark said, yeah. Right? Yeah. This is such an exciting time to be at K-Connect because of the foundation and infrastructure that was set, but also because of the people, right? And, mm-hmm. and Mark mentioned that. This is one of the most exciting times to be at K-Connect. It's also one of the most important times yeah. for us Absolutely. To be in community, in the county, in the state, and even scaling at the national level. And so I just want to just kind of go around, and I almost wanted to give them a round of applause. I was like, oh, yeah, like that's really where we are. So it's just super excited for that.
That's right, Salvador. If you're listening and something that you're hearing is resonating, or maybe it's setting you on fire because you're a part of the K-Connect network and you've seen this real time, give us some snaps, some claps, and some taps, and subscribe. All right.
I love how you threw that in there, Shayla.
Nicely done.
All right. So we talk about, you know, this new wave, these new wave team members of work, different experiences. Megan, you've really been able to catch that wave and rip, you know, the ripple effect of that wave, too, with one, you being a part of the K-Connect team, but then also how your work has grown and evolved from when you first started to, you know, right. now. Can you talk a little bit about what that has been like for you, being the backbone for some of the work that Mark and Salvador reference?
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate Mark giving that background. You know, it's really important to know where it all came from. I think people, when they hear collective impact, you know, they think about, you know, starting committees, you know, to work on things collectively. It's not as easy as they think it can be. And so I will first like to say that collective impact and looking at a systems as an overall is a full-time job. And so that is the importance of the K-Connect backbone team, that this is our jobs to really go into the community and have these important conversations. And so one thing that, Shayla, I love that you said, and you mentioned the word trust. And I think that's really big in our work. So it's you can't just go to someone, set up a meeting and say, hey, I want to work on this project, or we want to make sure that every child in Kent County is born healthy. Do you want to join this team? And it's like, wait a minute, like Mark said in the very beginning, who are you? What are you trying to do? And so I think it is that initial meeting or those initial conversations of understanding, who is K-Connect? Why are we so equity focused? We're not out for ourselves. We're actually doing this for the community. And then in a way, it does help those organizations and our partners work become a little bit easier, right? We're all going for the common goal. We can agree that we want every child in Kent County to be born healthy. We can agree as a whole that we want our children to be on track, you know, for third grade literacy and eighth grade math, and even being able to graduate from high school and to have, you know, employment and be able to have thriving wages, regardless if they go to college or get a certification. Mm-hmm. That is something that we can all agree, and I think that's why our work is so important. I will tell you, know, as a backbone, our main role, and Mark said it quite a bit, is that, you know, we are the conveners, and convening takes work, right? You know, making sure that you have the right players and the right content experts at the table. You know, I will tell you that there are times where you have a committee or a meeting, and there's a lot of folks in the space, and sometimes you have that thought of, you know what, I think we need to maybe go in a different direction. Maybe this group needs to be a little bit smaller, or I realize what organizations are missing from this conversation. So convening is an art. And so we did it very early on with the work groups that was essential to understanding what's actually taking place in the community. I think a lot of times with groups, they'll say, hey, let's all convene and we want to solve this problem. And then they create a program, not even realizing that there's three programs down the street that are doing the same exact thing. And so when we do have these convenings, especially with our align and design teams that will go into more detail about, the importance is really to align the work that's already happening, what's out there. And then what we'll always see is that the awareness, a lot of folks in the room will say, well, I had no idea that even existed, right? And then after that, it's like, okay, what about access? Like making sure that now the folks are aware that those that we're trying to serve have access to those resources and those supports. And so our role really is convening those small and large groups, facilitating that data, and Mark said it too, about being neutral conveners. We're not telling you what we think. We're actually taking the time sitting back and listening to our partners' needs, right? How can we make your job easier? How can we make sure that you are, that when someone comes to you, that they're where they need to be for you to provide your resources? And then also the big thing, and Mark talked about the data dashboard, it's data, right? It's so easy to walk in the room and say, you know what? I think that, you know, we want to make sure that everybody's on track for college enrollment. And then we have no data or no understanding of the students in our community, right? So if we're looking at, you know, eighth grade math, and we're seeing that if we're looking at school districts within our area, and we have school districts that are performing at 19%, and that's an indicator for high school graduation and college success, we got some work to do. And so I think when you have the data and everybody can come to that understanding of this is the data, this is what it is. Okay, what's going on in the community? What can we do better at? I think that's a hard pill to swallow. Everybody wants to think that they're doing things perfectly and they're doing all things. Nope. Every organization has their niche. Every organization has but their main thing that they do. And then one thing I do want to throw out as well is that common language. That's a big one where that's Cake and Eggs bread and butter, right, Mark? Like, you know, I convened a business ownership group, and I'm still convening that fabulous group as well. Love those folks. So if you're listening, hey, y'all. nice. Those are my people. I love all my groups, but hey, y'all. but I will tell you that, you know, we had, and I was new to the business ownership world. I'll be honest. I was like, ooh, this is a new one for me. But looking at business ownerships and gaps in when it comes to businesses of color, there were so many definitions thrown out and words and language. And so the beauty about K-Connect is that we were able to make sense of all this. Yeah. Organize it so that the entire group, we understand our definition of success. We understand the goals that we're trying to achieve. Essentially, the role of the background, we are the ones that, yes, you see us in the meetings doing the work, but there's a lot of work that's happening outside of the meetings, getting people to even come, you know, doing national scans and seeing what other great work is happening. And I will tell you, one thing I do want to say in this podcast is that one thing I know about Kent County, we have the capital. We mm-hmm. have the money. It's here. We are a very vibrant community, right? Mm-hmm. We have the resources. Mm-hmm. We got a plethora of organizations and nonprofits and for-profits doing the work, right? School districts, absolutely. I heard someone say a few weeks ago that you could throw a rock and hit an institution. So in our area, we got a lot of colleges and universities. But the reality is we're not talking to each other. And it's that alignment piece and understanding how can we better work together. So I'll back off. But that really just kind of explains our role of the backbone. It is really important. And I will tell you, everyone at this table and even all of our staff, even if they're not on this table, we love the work that we do.
Yeah, I think Megan really hit on something. And I think one of the things that I think a backbone for a collective impact, and especially K-Connect backbone staff are really talented at, is synthesizing information, right? So there's a lot of conversation in work groups, in, you know, different community conversations, but taking that information and synthesizing in a way that people can understand regardless of their background in any system, right? And so the classic example that we have here is taking the mess that was the language around housing and homelessness in the community and creating the housing stability continuum from no housing to house by choice, right? Where you could hold up this continuum, you could be a person with no background in the homeless system or the housing system, and you could talk about your experience or your family's experience, and people could understand that. So we helped take this mess of language and create a common language, similar to like what we did with the business ownership group. And this, my favorite example of language, I think, comes out of the business ownership group. This is the story I wanted to tell, is that in the same setting, the group would talk about ESOs, ESOPs, and EOS, right? They could legitimately have a sentence that would say something like, I think our ESO should talk to the ESOPs and maybe we can use EOS, right? And if you are not, like, I barely understand what that sentence means. I kind of get it. But like, if you were not an insider into that very you know, particular system, you wouldn't know what that meant. And now we've created this 360-degree model for business ownership that almost anyone can understand, from starting businesses all the way to selling businesses and everything in between and what that takes. And you don't need, you know, a bunch of experience within a system to talk about it. And I think that's that is one of the keys to being a collective impact, is synthesizing the information, giving a common language to the community and helping them tell that story.
Okay, so I just love this conversation. And one thing I want to lift is that we're talking about common language. Right. There are a lot of aspects of our organization that if someone hears us talking right now about teams and groups and what, like the structure of K-Connect, mm-hmm. It's something that I think we have to explain, right? So we are a collective impact system building backbone organization, and we have a team. But we also are a network.
Right.
We're a network, right? We have over 200 members, a part of our network, 150 organizations, and 2,000 people in the know, subscribed, who want to know about our data, who want to utilize our resources and get insights from K-Connect. Can we talk a little bit about that structure for our listeners, and really just give some understanding to maybe the evolution of work groups to align and design teams, as well as anything that we might see needed to explain the K-Connect team?
Yeah, I would say, you know, Mark, when he gave some history, you know, the work groups were really important. Mark mentioned prenatal to third grade, 4 through 12, and high school to career work groups. And those were like the main core work groups of K-Connect. But then again, the beauty is that we also have kind of those cross-sector work groups, which are work groups that support the work that the core work groups do. So data capacity is big. Remember, we have our data dashboard. Where did that data come from, right? You got to have the experts in the space. And so the data capacity work group is essential. And the cool thing is that a work group could go to data capacity and say, hey, we want to know X. And then they're going to go ahead and let us know what's out there. So that's a big one. Another thing is, and Shelly, you're going to talk about, is policy and advocacy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we realize systems level, yes, we could come up with a strategy all day. But I'm going to tell you, the real power, and we know this now more than ever, is policy and rallying around and understanding advocacy and what that looks like for your community. And I will tell you, being from Kent County, this is new for me. I have never really, I mean, you hear about policy, you learn about it, right? But to really step in and, you know, and have an advocacy day is big. And I think more folks, and I'm going to be, you know, you all can't see me. We're not on video. Yeah, I know. But, you know, but being an African-American woman, I think, you know, it is really important for our communities to understand how policy affects you so that you're making the right choices and you select who you feel are important to be in leadership positions. Mm-hmm. And that's an area that K-Connect is really going, moving into, because when we have these strategies, somebody has to move it. Mm-hmm. And then also, you know, community engagement, and that, and Shayla's going to talk about that too. When we have these work groups and these align and design teams, you want to make sure that you have community, not just, and I don't want to say not just the experts, because community are experts. They're live experience experts, right?
Yes.
They're the ones that are experienced it day to day. And so we want to make sure that their voices are being heard and those stories are being heard. And so work groups were very essential to just kind of understanding what's out there. Mm-hmm. But the beauty about the align and design team that kind of stems from the work groups is that they align with what's already happening. Remember, I told you, you know, a lot of folks want to start programs or initiatives and not truly understand what's even already out there in their community. You know, why reinvent the wheel? Why don't you just collaborate with the group that's already doing it? So just really understanding what that alignment looks like. And then the design piece is important. And so when the align and design team map out, and these are the ones that are actually spending time and energy, it's beyond just talking. They might have to-dos and tasks that they're leaving and connections that need to be made. So in a way, you know, they are kind of working like a backbone, like they're doing some of that work in the community for us. And so it's really about designing where we see gaps. So some great examples of that is that, you know, with our business ownership align and design team, we did a national scan, you know, where we looked at like who's doing great work to really elevate businesses of color, because we did see that it was a gap here. We have less than 7% businesses of color in Kent County. And so that's a major issue. And many of them not even over $250,000 in revenue. And so it's like, who's doing this work? And so we visited the Cincinnati Minority Business Accelerator. We were able to bring the group over there to ask questions, to hear about how they help elevate businesses of color. And now we are direct partners with them right now, looking at Kent County and doing that work here. Another example is that we looked at educators of color. So kind of take it, you know, away from business ownership and now to education, you know, looking at, you know, here in Kent County, we have 43% students of color within Kent ISD. And just 6% educators of color. And that's big, right? We want to make sure that our educators resemble the community that they serve. Mentorship purposes, culturally responsive instruction, that's big. And so out of kind of aligning with leaders that are already doing the work, we realized there was a need for educators of color to have a sense of belonging, to not feel like, you know what, I'm done with this, I'm leaving. I can find something else that's a little bit easier. And so a Shades of Strength was launched, Shades of Strength Collaborative, which is a group of educators of color who said, hey, we want to convene educators of color. We want them to have a sense of belonging, mentorship, you know, just to be able to, there's buildings where there's one educator of color and there's some that have none. So, you know, basically bringing, kind of convening those different educators together. And it doesn't matter if you are a bus driver, if you're working, you know, in the cafeteria, if you're a dean of students or you're a teacher, you are all invited. So if you are on here, let me tell you, and you're in Kent County, you know, and you're an educator of color, you know, reach out to K Connect to learn about Shades of Strength Collaborative. And I'm happy to direct you to the lovely ladies that's doing that work. And it stems from one of our key partners who already kind of built the framework for this years ago. So shout out to Dr. Brandy Love Lady Mitchell, you know, for the work that she did and really inspired these ladies to want to see a place for a sense of belonging for educators of color. And yeah, I mean, those are kind of two great examples about how you're aligning the work. And one another area I do want to shout out to is that, you know, when it comes to business ownership, we talked about ESO, so the Entrepreneur Support Organizations, and they had their first official Entrepreneur Support Organization Summit yesterday. And that was built out of conversation of we need to convene, we need to rally around each other, support each other, look at gaps and see what kind of work we can do together. So there's beauty in collective impact in our align and design team. So remember, aligning around what's happening in the community and then designing where you see gaps, where it doesn't exist and it's not there.
You just reminded me of something too, Megan. I think it's incredibly important. And one of the things that we often say when we're, you know, convening with groups or facilitating is, don't tell me what you are doing. Don't tell me what you want to do. Tell and show me who you want to become, right? Like this. And shout out to Adrienne Marie Brown for that one, because of I think she does a marvelous job of kind of explaining that and walking people through that. But I think that's something that we don't do as a community enough, right? We point at programs, to your point. We point at different things. This is what we're doing. This is my list. This is how I can be held accountable. But who do we want to become as a community? And are we doing what we need to do to get there? And shout out to our friend, you know, Eureka People, who often, one of the things that she says, and I've heard her say this in a number of different times, is there is one thing that we could always do as individuals, as groups, as organizations, and we can always get better.
Really?
So regardless of why you're here, can you get better? And almost anyone can come to consensus and yes. Even if you're killing it, right? Like you kill it a little more, right? And so those are the kind of things that I think K-Connect brings to the table, in addition to process, structure, resources. We now have like what we call like a resource incubator that, because we have so many things going. Like one of the examples that's coming up to mind is because we talk about serious stuff, right? Like mm-hmm. we live in a time where misinformation is everywhere, mm-hmm. like where there's, and this has been happening for a while. It's not anything new, but now it's growing and growing. And so data and stories from a reputable source is only going to be more valuable. And I think that's K-Connect at the center, is like, if you want an entity that you can trust that's convening folks, I think K-Connect for a lot of folks is that. And so I think it's important to elevate that component because it brings a whole nother level of accountability. And it is very serious stuff. We're talking about housing insecurity just a minute ago. We're talking about being born healthy. But let's put it a different way. Let's talk about peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? Like, let's say that...
Making me hungry, Sal.
That's right. Let's say that your city or your county or your state, you know, doesn't have enough peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And you're splitting that up by zip codes. And then you have folks that are like, well, I already have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. I don't really need it, right? And there are folks that I don't really like peanut butter, but do you want to have access to it?
Right. That's the
Do you want the ability to say, I can go and just get a peanut butter, not for me, maybe for my kids, maybe for my family, right? And so those are the kind of conversations that we bring. Okay, what's missing? What are the resources? Do we have enough people making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Do we have enough people that can consume that? Is that something that's going to impact our economy? Is that something that everyone should be able to access, right? Is that something that children and teenagers and adults and older folks like? And if the answer is yes, then there is a demand for that. And so that's the perspective that the K-Connect comes brings to the table, and that's making sense of things. I think Mark mentioned synthesizing information, and that can be incredibly overwhelming. Right. So what if you had someone that was just working on that behind the scenes, and when you get stuck and you're like, you know, this peanut butter and jelly sandwich, like, I think we need to bring the people that just eat them on a regular basis and see what they think, right? People that have lived experience in eating this stuff, right? Mm. And then at one point, someone says, well, I think that the rules and the laws and regulations in our community need to change. And then it's like, well, that's a policy that exists that says that you could only have peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in Illinois, not Michigan. Well, who do we go to change that? And what are the rules? And what's the process? And then the backbone team says, well, this is the process and this is the group. And so I think those are the invisible pieces that this backbone organization brings. And to Mark's point, it took a while to develop that process. But once you have it and you have the right people around the table that are thinking about the things that people simply don't have the time to think about because they're so busy running an organization, they're so busy being out in the street, helping the people that are closest to the pain, you need someone that helps you in the background.
Sal, I'm going to use that example. I mean, we always make a joke about collective impact being very difficult to explain. You get the question, what do you do? And it's like really hard to explain collective impact. I am going to use that peanut butter and jelly analogy right there. I think that's great. So I think I said it before earlier. You really proved a point. I don't care if we're talking about being born healthy, education, or thriving wages. One thing that I notice in every aligned design team meeting that ends up being the issue is, again, that alignment, that awareness, so people even understanding what resources that exist, and then that access, right? How do I access that? And another thing I wanted to say, too, is that, you know, you're going to hear a lot of shout-outs here, right? Like, you're going to hear, we're going to say, and hopefully it doesn't bother you, but I'm going to tell you, one thing about K-Connect, we give credit where credit is due. We are convening a content experts, right? A lot of this information comes for them. And I think that's where the trust comes from. I'm not trying to steal your work. I'm not trying to say that I'm doing it. I'm trying to make sense of it so that we can collectively work together. And so we will give credit for those, our partners that have truly put in the time, the energy, and the efforts to help us build these models, help us build these strategies, and then even many of them executing them out on the street. So I just want to throw that out there if you hear a couple of more shout outs. And if y'all, and like and subscribe, like Shayla said, to make sure, and comment as well. So
claps,
I love it.
Snaps,
claps,
and taps.
Snaps. Mark said taps. I don't know how that's going to work, but that's kind of funny.
Salvador, you said something that really stuck with me in shout out. As Megan said, there's lots of shout outs. Shout out again to Eureka Peoples for this, because this idea that we can get better. And it's an individual thing, but it's also an organizational thing, too. And as an organization, I just remember picking up that common agenda roadmap that you referenced, Mark, the 1.0, and seeing that there were goals around policy and advocacy, seeing that there were goals already existing around kind of this natural 360 model that we have in-house with our cross-cutting groups. policy and advocacy, community engagement, and data and capacity. And so I'm just wondering, Mark, maybe can you talk a little bit about the importance of the cross-functioning teams? And I'll chime in with you here because policy, and I don't know how to get data and capacity in the acronym PACE. What is it?
Sorry,
Kate. Kate. It's not going to work. Okay, so can you talk a little bit about that, Mark?
I think even today, some of that Common Agenda and Roadmap 1.0, it's on our website if you're interested in finding it, is a document that still has nuggets of wisdom in there. And I think what the founders of K-Connect and the consultants that were brought in to kind of build collective impact knew that there's often things that are lacked from community, organically grown community initiatives or convenings. And that is kind of the project management side of it, the convening, the facilitation, the synthesizing of information, but also this area of data and information, ensuring that community voice is involved throughout the process, and ensuring that there's an outlet to actually change things through policy and advocacy. And so I think what we realized after several years of working with the work groups and K-Connect is that this thing that made K-Connect special was not so much the core work groups, but it was the cross-cutting work groups where you had subject matter experts convening in data, community engagement, policy and advocacy, and they could help move initiatives forward. And the way that I like to think about it is our data and capacity work group helps the community tell what's happening and where. And the community engagement work groups helps tell the story about why that's happening, right? And the policy and advocacy work group is positioned to tell us, to help us with how we change it, right? So it's really the what, where, why, and how, and having those levers, has made all the difference within these initiatives to keep the work moving forward, to understanding the problem, to understanding the solutions, and moving forward at a policy and advocacy level to get things changed at a community, state, and national level.
It's how we approach all of our work at K-Connect, right? Like we have almost this list in mind that we need to know the policies that are existing, where there are gaps, right, in policy. We need to know the stories. Nikisha Ricks Pettyjohn, just love her quote, stories are data with soul.
Right.
And so that too, right? Even protecting data and saying, adding lived experience expertise in a way that data cannot be weaponized, but that it can be useful and helpful and foundational and core to our understanding of an issue and of the opportunity that exists. So wow. Yes. Cross-cutting work groups are almost like our internal 360 model.
Mm-hmm.
So gonna kind of switch gears here, Salvador. About almost 2 years ago now, maybe a little over 2 years, we had our 10-year celebration as an organization. And there were three words that we put out to community that this is where we self-define who we are, what we do, and how we show up. Can you talk a little bit about those three words and what those mean for you as the leader of K-Connect?
I certainly can. And I'm thinking back on it now, and I'm thinking about the purpose and the why we wanted to anchor ourselves in some sort of principles or values. And one of the reasons was when you bring so many people together with so many different opinions, content expertise, backgrounds, if you will, sooner or later, those folks are going to start, I say this in the community, they're going to start throwing tomatoes at someone. Sometimes they throw tomatoes at each other, tomatoes at the facilitators. And every now and again, and quite often, K-Connect would be that kind of, what sometimes we'll call it a punching bag, right? Like the people that get beat up for the sake of other folks to come to an agreement. And it was becoming harder and harder to do that work, because who the hell wants to wake up in the morning and be somebody's punching bag? Like, who wants to get tomatoes thrown at them all the time and be that invisible org? And I just kept thinking about that when I was going through for a jog. I felt like I was dying after a mile or whatever. And I just, I think I was on parental leave, actually. I had a baby at home, and I was like jogging and trying to just keep it together, if you will. And three words just kind of popped in my head as I was listening to probably a podcast or something. And it was, how do we continue to be curious about asking the right questions? And Mark often says this, data often is not what gives you the answers, is what causes you to ask important questions that may lead you to some potential solutions, right? But often people think, well, if I get the data, then I'll have the answers. And it's a misconception. And so how do we become curious about asking the questions? And I kept thinking about children as well, but again, because I'm a parent of three, and at the time it was a brand new baby, right? And so I'm thinking, when would we discourage a child from being curious? Who can throw tomatoes at that? Curiosity, though, right? Who's going to dislike you saying, like, you need to be more curious? Like, we would never tell a child not to, right? So I thought, okay, that could be kind of something that we use, right? And I started thinking about that more. And so then I was like, oh, maybe it could be three C's. And so curiosity was the first word. And then creative was the second word that came to mind, is how do we become creative about bringing people together? This idea that we have to lecture each other and then there's a Q&A or a panel discussion, I thought, we've been doing that forever. And not us at K-Connect necessarily, but as a community, right? People do this at conferences, but K-Connect doesn't do that. We are creative about having discussions, about breakouts, about a variety of things that allow the community to have a voice. And we do this in small groups or large convenings. And so how do we become more creative, using kind of that background that we can always get better? How do we become more creative about bringing people together? And then something that really stood out to me is like, well, we center everything around equitable outcomes and ensuring that everyone's got that ability to thrive and be successful. And I thought, but in order to do that, you really have to be courageous. And so being courageous was the third word. And to me is, it kind of just highlighted the work that we all do. And I was thinking about different people from K-Connect when I was thinking about this. And I thought, this completely kind of outlines what we would tell anyone. If I have a child running around, I want them to be curious. I want them to be creative, and I want them to be courageous. And so why would we limit ourselves as adults and the communities from doing the same? And that is something that we adopted about 2 years ago. I thought, you know, the first thing the team's going to do is make fun of me for this, because we make fun of each other a lot about like words and acronyms and things. But it kind of stuck, and it's something that I think about a lot. And it's something that I think anyone can resonate with.
Yes, absolutely. I think we definitely embrace that as a team, because even ways to put language to who we are and what we do. I'm just hearing childlike curiosity, creativity, and courage, like being childlike in those things. And I think about what impacts a child, like what halts a child from being creative? What halts a child from being courageous?
Well, I don't even know if I have all the answers for that, but a couple of things is that we often limit ourselves. Sometimes we limit our children. Sometimes it's out of fear. Sometimes it's out of not having the experience, right? And so if I haven't done it, maybe, you know, you shouldn't do it, right? And I think we do that as children, and we do it to children, but we also do it as adults. And so, you know, how do we show up and just model that behavior in a way that others can follow? And I think those three kind of principles, anyone can follow. They're not bulletproof, if you will. I mean, people can break them apart, but for the most part, they're incredibly solid. And then we live in a time where we have to be brave. Right. We have to be courageous about the way that we show up. And that's not just the people in this room or listening. It's everyone, because people depend on us and people look up to us. and the next generation needs it. And so that's kind of the approach to the whole thing.
Wow. That day, I remember us releasing those three C's at that event, our 10-year Accountability Partners Council. And in that room, I think I even might have said this when I got up to speak. I said, there's one more C here that we forgot to mention, and that C is celebration.
That's right.
And this is, right, something as a team, we have to be intentional about pausing and actually doing it, celebrating, because this work is deep, right? It can be heavy, mm-hmm. but there are specific things that we are doing that I believe are worth celebrating. Even this podcast episode outlines some of the great things that we're doing and can celebrate. So I want to wrap up today's episode by everyone just kind of reflecting a bit and naming, it's our one minute to do it type of situation.
All right.
Naming one aspect of this work that you're celebrating. One aspect of this work that you're celebrating, and I'll go first. I'll start. I'll give you guys some time to think. I'm celebrating this too. I think that this team doesn't just show up curious, creative, and courageous externally in what we do and how we serve as a backbone for this community. I think we do that within, too. And so that is something that I'd like to celebrate, us being courageous and caring for one another.
Another C word there.
Add them up. I can jump in. I thank you, Shayla, for caring and your love for the team, and same for you, right? But I'm going to go a little bit outward. I'm going to celebrate our national partnerships. You know, I think we have done a lot of work, and Mark gave the history of, you know, allowing our community and the county and even in the state, those in the state, to understand what collective impact is, who is K-Connect and what we do. But now we really are going beyond the community and seeing, you know, and you know, working with partners nationally to be able to elevate the work, because we do know that we are better in numbers. And so, you know, it's something that can't be done alone. And, you know, especially as we tap into this policy and advocacy space. So definitely celebrating our partners, our national partners, and those that support the work that we do.
Yeah, I think, you know, the thing that I celebrate is seeing when a group that starts to convene in with K-Connect starts to get rolling, like actually get working. You know, I think there's different phases of a group, storming and norming and all of that stuff that people talk about. But seeing when a group starts to get really moving forward and they've dropped all of that kind of animosity towards each other or past history, you know, we just got out of a group meeting yesterday that we've been convening a group of people, and seeing a young leader in this community kind of rising up and really taking the lead of a group and being a voice for an economic force within the community, and with the help of sort of K-Connect behind the scenes, being able to work in that space. And so I think that is the power of collective impact. I think that is something that I celebrate. Seeing things start to work, I think, is really fun and just amazing to experience.
Wow. Y'all took all the good ones too. But no, I was thinking a little bit about each one of those, and shout out to our national partners too, some of the folks that we partner with. I think there's going to be more of that the next time that we chat. Folks like organizations like Strive Together, FSG's Collective Impact Forum, Collective Change Lab. We have some incredible, talented people. So shout out to those organizations. And we can certainly dig into that. But one of the things that I really think y'all kind of touched on, it from the people to the work to the transformation, if you will. One of the things that I think we need to celebrate more is the root cause and systems work that y'all are all doing, that we're all doing. And I think often when people think about systems, they think about, you know, a lot of things, and it can be very overwhelming. Right. I just want to celebrate us and the ability to really make sense of that in a way that people can come together to address that. It used to be that people would say, well, systems work. I might not live to see, you know, the change. And I really don't believe that. I believe that the leaders that came before us historically said, I want to do this in 5 years. I want to do this in 10 years. I want to end X in X amount of time. And I think we need to do that. And I think K-Connect does that. And I think we're going to lean into that more. And so I just want to celebrate forward thinking and system thinking and just the amazing talent that we have here and in our network as well.
Whew. Wow, this has been great, guys. And I also just want to celebrate and shout out our team members who aren't here with us. We have Katie, our Director of Communications, and Stephanie, our Executive Administrator. She holds down all of our operational stuff, and just amazing team here at K-Connect. And I want to just go back to something that I said over the course of this episode, and that was the Nikisha Ricks Pettyjohn quote, "Stories are data with soul." Today, you have heard some of K-Connect's story. There's more. Yes, there's more. Tune into part two, where we, as Salvador mentioned, dive deeper into the work, some of the great things that we're doing. You've heard some very concrete examples, but there are more. And we want to encourage you to subscribe. What do we say?
Snaps, claps, and taps.
The subscribe button.
That's right.
To share this podcast episode, especially if you are a part of the Collective Impact community. If you know backbone organizations that are starting in your community, this is a great foundational way to get information to them. As well as if you want to stay K-connected, y'all gonna fire me, visit our website, www.k-connect.org. Also, you can search us on all social media platforms. So, we thank you for your time, for tuning in, join us for part two.
Something?
Sure.
Okay, I can. I had to. I know you're like, wait, we're done. No, we're not. No. So what I do want to do before we jump off is just shout out. We did a lot of shout outs today. Shout out to the entire K-Connect network.
Yes.
We threw out some group names, but we didn't do all of them. So if you were a part of the work group, if you were a part of the original development of the work plan, if you are a part of, you know, the Common Agenda 1 and 2.0, like all of that, you know, and even a part of our line and design team, community partners, national partners, just shout out to you all. We thank you. We appreciate you. And we know this work could not be done without you.
Yes.
Yep.
Absolutely. Right. Thank you, Megan. Thank you all for listening. And we will see you next time.
Thank you for joining us for the Pace Forward podcast. This episode has been brought to you by Connect Us, transforming communities one system at a time.